Campus FM presents My Pizza and Toffee Apples in the 1950s. Produced and presented by Patricia Salomone.
In the long, quiet evenings before the advent of television, my father listened to the BBC News and my mother played Chopin on our piano. Her music drifted out through the open windows into the dark summer nights, lit up only here and there by the dim lights in the British military barracks opposite our home.
As I said last week, I was no longer so eager to leave Malta during the summer. Now there were my teenage friends in Quiz and my first boyfriend. Things were changing, and the fortress island was seeing the British military countdown. Teeny Beach was no longer exclusively British territory, and I spent hours and hours of carefree swimming and flirting there on the rocky shore, where some friends had also set up a small band. We danced to the music on the beach, or even in the gardens of the Union Club. I loved jiving. Rock and roll was, more than ever, the furore. I did not really wish to go, and I made some resistance. But my parents were adamant. They would not leave for Italy without me.
Chiudi gli occhi e mi baci, tu non ci crederai. Ma vedo le mille bolle blu e vanno leggere, vanno, si rincorrono, salgono, scendono per il cielo.
Of course. Italy can quickly take up a young woman's fantasy, and between the arrival of her letter and the next, I swam, I danced, I flirted, laughed and flourished into womanhood. My vanity attracted me to the shop windows, which in those days contained much more than we were accustomed to back in Malta. Shoes and bags and my first bikini. Mina sang Le Mille Bolle Blu, and Adriano Celentano sang and epitomized Il Ragazzo della Via Gluck. Little Tony was the Italian version of Elvis, and Connie Francis swooned while teenagers danced Il Ballo del Mattone, cheek to cheek. Sitting at the bicycle shop downstairs on the ground floor in Via Cavour 52, would now receive blushing smiles as I went by swinging on my Mina shoes. The awkward cocoon had turned into a sprightly young butterfly, ready to fly to dizzy heights.
Amor, impazzisco di gioia se vedo passeggiare. Nel vento le mille bolle blu, un bacio ancora, un bacio, s'avvicinano, eccole, eccole, sono qui.
On our way up, during our journey, driving through Sicily, we visited Zio Peppino and Zia Salvina, his tiny, red-haired wife, daughter of the strict-looking Commendatore Corso and his smiling, short-sighted wife, Donna Paolina, in the sleepy rural town of Vittoria. What a generous, joyous welcome in their big old home! hours of entertainment with the three younger cousins in the large, barn-like attic, where onions hung from beams in the ceiling and demijohns of oil and wine were stored. I had just finished my GCEO level exams. The results would reach me during my Italian holiday. In the meantime, I could relax. I had cut my hair short to a new hairstyle and loved wearing the fancy earrings fashionable then. She had sewn many pretty new dresses for me. One was white, with a bright print of oranges and lemons. Perfect for a teenager on a Sicilian holiday. In our Sicilian cousin's antique home, all was archaic. The high ceilings were frescoed, the long balconies adorned with rows of balustrades and gargoyles with long stony beards. Coloured Caltagirone pots adorned the terraces, and even the toilets were made of elaborate, multicoloured Caltagirone pottery. Had been brought up in an old Sicilian family, with the old courteous manners that came from such upbringing. We went together to swim on the sandy beaches of Scoglietti and Marina di Ragusa, white sands, clean, untouched and bare, so unlike the developed entertainment places that they have become today. We went with them to visit their cousins, the Baroni Arezzo, in the Palazzo Avito on the baroque Piazza del Duomo in Ragusa Ibla. I remember a joyous reunion with elegant ladies wearing pearls and coral. As was traditional, ice cream and cannoli di ricotta were delivered from the best café on the piazza, and the padrona di casa served malvasia in small, elegant crystal glasses. Adorned the marble staircase, which the gentleman of the house descended to come and greet us, whilst his wife waited graciously at the top of the stairs to let us into her home, a home that had lost none of the charm of the centuries gone by. Doors in the salone opened onto the balcony which overlooked the baroque piazza. The shutters were ajar, keeping out the fierce Sicilian sun, and fine lace curtains fluttered in the breeze. On one side of the room stood a pianoforte. She sat and played happy tunes. She sang, and we all sang to an excited crescendo. Suddenly, the pianist came to a stop. Her new topaz stone ring had cracked, and she cried, disappointed. For years, I have asked myself what exactly had happened. How had the topaz ring chipped? Thank you. visited that home on Easter Sunday, half a century later. My elderly widowed father was there with me, as were my adult sons. In my hands I held the little hands of my young grandchildren, Valentina and Matteo. Suddenly, as I entered the sitting room, she was there. As by magic, I was taken many, many years back.
Filled with music of long ago, with voices past, and pearl-adorned ladies wearing high-heeled shoes, their hair pulled back in elegant chignon. They spoke softly and radiated subtle scents of Arpège and Chanel 5. Opposite the balcony door, draped in elegant lace, I saw the old pianoforte. It has two brass candle holders, one to the left, the other to the right. I could almost see the pretty pianist with the happy voice of so many years ago. Now I knew what had happened. She had hit the brass candle holder with her topaz ring. At last I knew. That chipped topaz ring is my most prized possession. After an emotional farewell to our Sicilian cousins, our journey proceeded up the sunny coast of Sicily, up past the one-eyed giant's boulders off the shores of Taormina, up past Jarre lined with artisans' shops selling fancy handmade pottery and rows of Paladini di Francia. We drove up the coast, past Messina, where Charlotte had waited in the train station just to wave goodbye. We drove on to the traghetto and crossed between Scilla and Cariddi. This time we were not train passengers, but proud car passengers, with our brand new Ford Cortina, wine colour and number plate 7966. When we reached the Calabrian coast, we knew we had a long way to go up north towards Metaponto and to Taranto, our final destination, and we eagerly began our journey. Inexperienced driver drove carefully, his mind and eyes on the deserted coast road, when suddenly our sight went blurred, as with a loud crash a small pebble flew from under an advancing lorry's wheel and our windscreen was shattered. The unexpected had occurred, and our carefree holiday had suddenly changed to a near fatality. Shocked and confused, we stumbled out of the car to assess the damage. In reality, not much had happened. The windscreen was shattered, but intact, so we could see absolutely nothing through its now frosted surface. The culprit, the lorry driver, drove off in the opposite direction, quite unaware of what had happened. And the coast road was absolutely deserted. Thank you.
morning sun shone on us four as we looked around for some solution. But as luck had it, the accident had happened quite close to a casa cantoniera, whose owner soon walked towards us. We could not have landed on a better place and a better person. It was his job to watch the road, to keep it clean, and to report any accidents. So my dad and he set off, shattering what was left of the windscreen, while my kid sister, our mother, and I sheltered in the old wayside home. But we were quite determined that our journey up the Calabrian coast was to continue, with or without windscreen. We went singing away to our heart's delight, whilst hundreds of insects got into our eyes and nostrils and got stuck to the upholstery of our brand new Ford Cortina 7966. We had planned to arrive clean and not blackened by the train soot, as had happened so many times before, but we arrived instead spluttered with dead insects. To everyone's worry and disappointment, we got into town late. No mobile phones in those days. But notwithstanding the delay, again, what a welcome. All the windows were wide open, with lights shining out through Nonno's surgery, the sitting room, Nonni's bedroom, Anna and Lilina's bedroom, the dining room, and Nonna Angelina's room. The whole corner of Via Cavour and Via Amfiteatro shining brightly, the balconies crowded with family members cheering and greeting us for the start of yet another of our glorious summer holidays. For the first time, I realized that those loved ones were getting old. But it was just a fleeting sensation, the awareness of which was soon drowned by hugs and kisses as they left the balconies and hurried towards the stairs. The most elegant of the balconies was the main one, over the columns of the main entrance to the palazzo in Via Cavour. There is a faded photo taken of my little sister on her fourth or fifth birthday. She is wearing a pink taffeta dress, one of those lovely ones she had made back home. My sister wears her shiny auburn hair, pageboy style, with a little lenchy flower hairband. She is standing on the balcony, in front of Nonna's large fern, a historical fern of which each member of our family now possesses an offshoot.
All'alba se ne parte il marinaro, coi sogni in cuore il sole sulla prora.
Dad is busy taking photos, while the older members of the family are sitting on the salottino, black wooden frame with rattan seating and a brass table, Moroccan style, serving as a coffee table. The shutters are ajar, so the room is shady. It is full of children of various ages, invited to celebrate the birthday of the little Maltese girl. The big radio in the sitting room is playing Marinar, torna qui, si può amar una sola volta così. The waiter comes from La Sem with trays of little cakes and sugar-covered sweets, with savoyardi and silver cups of ice cream. There is a large white cake, simply decorated with the words auguri, and there are four or five candles.
Più non ricordati per lui d'ora. Ma perché?
She, beautiful, blonde and sunburnt, is at the piano, about to play Happy Birthday. It is hot, even though it is evening, practically sunset. It is the 8th of August of many, many years ago.
Una sola volta così.
So many pretty frocks, so many checked trousers. She had taught us to love art and poetry, to treasure books and appreciate history. Together we had sung so many songs and danced the years away. All that remains now is a white marble slab in a big, sad garden. It is engraved with some of Leopardi's most poignant verses, which we have borrowed in memory of her singing voice. We could think of no better words to remember her by. Mamma, suonavan le quiete stanze e le vie d'intorno al tuo perpetuo canto. Recently, you came with me, Roy, to visit this resting place. On the marble slab, I placed a flower. You placed a pebble. And now, my story having come to an end, please allow a few words to you, my listeners. It's quite normal for stories to end with the usual phrase, "and they lived happily ever after." So you may find my ending rather abrupt. A flower and a pebble on a tombstone. Evincing rather a sad image. But as I said in my first program, this was the remembrance of my childhood, spanning the 50s into the early 60s. As I wrote, I made you participants of my childhood, and as I spoke out my written words, the voices, sounds, smells, and tastes of my childhood also brought back memories of your early years, for this is what collective memory is all about. The remembrance of the small things that made up our lives. Only by talking about them to the new generations can we keep the memory alive. I know that so many of the listeners of my age have participated to this story, and I thank them for their enthusiasm. I hope that the younger ones have listened too, for history is not made up of the great deeds of kings and queens, but of the small lives of the common people, the forgotten voices who said so little but had so much to tell. Throughout, my childhood friend Roy has smiled rather benevolently. I have been encouraged by friends and relatives who helped source the music to set the mood right. Believe me, I am very grateful. Finally, gratitude goes to three very patient gentlemen without whose collaboration this program would not have gone on air. These are the technicians at Campus FM,
Carmenu Grech, Kenneth Mitzi, and Samuel Attard. Thank you all. I look forward to working with you again. This is Patricia Salomone, and this is the end of my childhood chronicle, my pizza and toffee apples in the 1950s.